You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05pm with Gareth Topham, Will Smith and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. We've got several graded races at Kempton. We've got good racing at Newcastle and Chepstow over the obstacles, and some good racing on the all-weather poly track as well, not just about the jumping. We've got Lingfield on Saturday afternoon, plus action in the evening as well from Wolverhampton, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Mark, yes. Good to be here. Good to do this alongside you. Those fellas are in safe hands.
Good. That's nice. What have you been up to, Andy? Oh, have you? I imagine this time of year you're doing plenty of Cheltenham Festival previews and so on and so forth. So you got your shortlist already drawn up?
I have, yeah. I've had a few more bets since we last spoke. I'm very interested in that form line in Ireland, that Our Duke, Disco, Coney Island, which was transferred by Disco and Our Duke into the Flowgas Novices Chase of the Day.
Yeah.
I think that's fairly solid form. The time figures suggest that Coney Island has run really well in that race, and whichever race he runs in at the festival, i.e. the RSO, the JLT, he's going to be hugely effective. And since Ballyandy won the Betfair hurdle at Newbury, I've been backing him for both the Supreme and the Neptune, more predominantly the Supreme, because I do think he's got more speed than the Twist and Davis camp believe, right, based on my numbers. He's by a mile the quickest 2 mile novice I've got this season.
Really?
By a distance. And you often find those handicap races, because obviously the speed is generated as such, often throws up horses that run well in this race.
Yeah.
The Supreme novices, My Ten to Yours, ran well in it. Get Me Out of Here, he ran well at the festival.
I'm a big fan of that angle, to be fair, where novices running a handicap.
Love it. It just toughens them up, doesn't it?
A bit more streetwise, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. And he travelled really sweetly throughout. The good thing about that race is the two novices who went into that well handicapped pulled clear the rest of the field. And I think it's the first time that Ballyandy's had a proper gallop in a big field.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise that his previous best performances have come when those conditions have been similar, i.e. when he won the bumper last year. They went a good gallop in the bumper and he came through. So I don't know why they're thinking of stepping him up to the 2.5. Why would you do that? Your two best performances in the book are when you've had a strongly run 2 miles, when you've travelled, and the two times he's got beat in proper grade one companies, when he got outstayed by Mezzo de Zabo in the grade two at Sandown, and when he ran behind Battleford and Bacardi's in the 2 mile one race at Aintree, when it was a test of stamina. So if he were mine, he's absolute no-brainer. He should run in the Supreme Novices.
He's 8-1 still in the market as well.
And he's unbeaten at Cheltenham on the inside track, on the old course.
Mm.
He's 2-for... Well, no, sorry, he got beat by Moonracer, but he should have won that day. It was a dawdle of a race, wasn't it?
Oh, early this season.
Yeah, it was a joke, absolute joke race. But other than that, he's 2-for-2 on the old course at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I like your argument, yeah.
I do like his claims. So Ballyandy and Coney Island are the two that I've shoehorned into my anti-post portfolio alongside the likes of Denario de Zabo. Unfortunately, Bristol de May, who was eclipsed last time out at Newbury by
There's been one or
Native
two
River.
Positive noises about him since, haven't there? Apparently he got a little niggling injury at the start of the race.
He wasn't right, was he? I mean, from the word go, he just never travelled. I mean, let's face it, he gave them 6 lengths head start with the start, but I don't know what Daryl Jacob was thinking about. I mean, he's a horse that likes to race prominently or leads. And he gave Native River a strong stayer who was on home soil at Newbury, his happy hunting ground, a 6-length lead. Literally, as they jumped off, he went, right, they have 6 lengths. So he's caught him up when they turned into the straight.
Yeah.
But then he made a bad mistake at the fourth last. He always had an injury. And he was just chasing a strong stayer from 4 out at Newbury who was never going to get beat.
No.
So there are mitigating circumstances to suggest that we shouldn't be writing off Bristol de May.
No, he's 20-1 in the market. He doubled in price on the back of that performance. He was 10s before the race.
It's a lifeline, anyway.
Yeah.
I've been thrown a lifeline.
At least, yeah, at least they can explain it to some degree.
Yeah, and he's going to run, and obviously Thistle cracks out, so we're back in the game.
Yeah, a bit of news about the Gold Cup as well. Lizzie Kelly's going to ride in the Gold Cup, going to be the first lady jockey for 33 years to ride in the race as well. She's going to take her place on T42 in the race. Nice story, I suppose, but does T42 have a chance of giving a lady jockey a winner in the race?
If it was Kempton, yes.
Yeah.
If it was right-handed, yes.
Yeah.
But T42, at Cheltenham in a proper Grade 1 race, so they're going to go a million. I think his odds of 66-1 are reflected in that price.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great to see Lizzie have a day in the spotlight. For the right reasons, in many respects. Obviously, Victoria Pendleton last year was in the Hunter Chase, and it was very much a media frenzied kind of setup. But
yeah,
don't forget Lizzie's a Grade One chase. You know, she's ridden a Grade One chase winner as well.
Yeah.
Actually, this season, wasn't it? If I remember right,
Kempton.
Yeah.
2 years ago, was it?
Two years ago?
Not this one that's just passed, the one before that.
Yeah. But she's a girl who's I've got a lot of time for. You know, good judge of pace. And, you know, she's say, proven herself against the men on many, many occasions. So, good for her.
Yeah. She had a double at the time recording this on Friday as well, so celebrated in good style.
Yeah.
With a couple of winners. Anything else on your mind, Andy? Or should we get stuck into Saturday?
We're going to be concentrating on these four. That'll take us another probably 10 minutes.
Good. Well, let's move on then. Let's get Andy's thoughts in four of the best that's coming up on Saturday.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday's action. We're going to start this look ahead in the 2:45 at Newcastle, which is the Ida Handicap Chase. 4 miles is the trip for this. We've got a field of 18 of them set to go to post as well. Not quite got the betting out on site just yet, Andy, but good renewal of this race. There's plenty of old favourite stays in there, and a couple of Welsh national winners as well, the likes of Mountainous and Emperor's Choice and such. Who do you like in the race?
Well, it's certainly not going to be for the faint-hearted, is it? We've got a full complement going to post. It's going to be run on very testing ground. But I quite like horses that race up with the speed here. I think that's going to be a massive advantage. It's a lot of hard work for the horses at the back to make ground into the teeth of a strong pace. And I'm prepared to go with a novice here who seems to be coming right at the right time. And he's got a good record here at Newcastle. And that's Smooth Stepper from the Sue Smith stable. He's got... I don't think he's ever finished out the frame here at this this venue. And his last two performances over fences are second to Sea at Midnight, of course, last year in a very good novice's chase. And he won his last start here as well, beating Big Iron on his hip. Now, the feature of his round that day, he jumped immaculately. And you definitely need to keep jumping well and keep maintaining your position. And even though he's fairly low mileage and lightly raced over fences, I think that was only his 10th career start over fences, he's built up now a reputation of being a really sound jumper. I think there's a bit of legs in having a look at a horse like Smooth Stepper, because he's still got probably quite a bit of improvement to come. The further he goes as well, I think the better he'll be.
Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, he's just a horse I like. I like his honesty as well. He comes here fairly fresh. He's only had 3 runs this season. He's had a 50-day break from his last run. It seems the way he's been campaigning, obviously he ran back here last time out. He's been given a break to come back here. This is the race they've had in mind for a while.
Yep.
They've almost probably talked about it even last season because of his track record. So he's had plenty of sighters at the fences here. He's probably had more experience running here than most of the horses in the field put together. So, you know, he's the right age as well, that, you know, eight-year-old on the up. So, yeah, I quite like his chances.
Smooth Stepper then for Andy in the Ida Chase. Let's move to Kempton for a couple of races there. The 3 o'clock is the Dovecut Novices Hurdle, and this is Grade 2 over 2 miles. We've got a field of 8 to go to post for this one. Some nice young talented horses in here as well, you know, the likes of Elgin and River Wild and Capitan. Disappointed slightly behind Finian's Oscar perhaps last time, but then he is running against a superstar in the making, potentially, in Finian's Oscar in that race. So what do you make of the shape of this one?
Well, not only have we got a very intriguing race, we've got a lot of horses who whose form ties in with a lot of Cheltenham aspirants, i.e. Captain Neon Wolf. Sorry, Elgin, beg your pardon. It's Elgin, yeah. Neon Wolf, Captain...
Finian's Oscar.
Finian's Oscar, beg your pardon. So I think it's very important for those two horses to run if you're a fancy of those two for the festival.
Yeah.
I think Capitaine will definitely benefit from running back, going back round right-handed on a sharp track on better ground, because it's going to be good ground tomorrow at Kempton. I think Hurricane Doris has done all that she needs to do. So he's definitely got to be a player. I think Elgin will be better too, going this way round and on this ground as well. He's also a course and distance winner. And then you throw in the likes of Captain Forres, who's an immensely talented horse, who was second in a slow run race behind Capitaine, and River Wild, who's shown good form round Ludlow, i.e. sharp right-handed track. And this is a very, very intriguing and difficult affair. And the betting is very compact as well to suggest that.
So which way do you come down?
If there was ease in the ground, I'd say Captain Ferez. I absolutely adore this horse. I think if there's one horse in the Dam Skelton stable going forward for the future that you would almost say would be winning big races down the line, it would be him. He's a proper chaser in the making. They didn't go quick enough for him the last day at Kempton and Ascot when Capitaine nicked it from the front. But I think there should be more pace pressure on here. You've got Peter Namayo in the race as well, along with Capitaine. I think it'll be a more true test. And the Skelton horses are running much better than they were earlier in the season. That's another point to make. And at 5-1 with the dead eight runners, it's hard to see Captain Forres, albeit the ground is maybe on the quicker side than ideal, not at least running his race and being competitive in the frame.
Yeah, could do you better than that as well. I can give you 11-2 if you want.
11-2?
Yeah.
Is that... Is that Mark Walton Bookmakers, is it?
that's William Hill.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
right.
Well, William Hill, I've got 11.
Have you down as an honest bookie type, yeah?
Yeah. I'd lose too much money, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd stick my neck out too often. Oh, that can't win. Oh, God. Yeah, it's gonna win.
not thinking about the consequences.
No. 3:15 at Lingfield is where we go next. We'll come back to Kempton in a moment for their big race, but we'll go through these in time order. So the 3:15... at Lingfield is the Winter Derby, which is a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter, a field of 10 set to go to post. For this one, Mutakayev is the 11-8 favourite here. It's 9-2 Battalion, 6-1 Convey, 6-1 also Grendasar, Pinzolo 10s with Absolute Blast, and 20-1 or bigger for the others. So Mutakayev much shorter than the rest here, Andy. Rightfully so, in your opinion.
Well, he is on pure ratings. If you're a weights and measures man, he's rated 120. He was a bit unlucky, wasn't he, in the Judd Montbeyond postponed when Hannigan went near side and at Zini cut him off at the pass. He probably might have won the Grade 1 feature had he got a clear run. Prior to that, he'd been in progressive with wins at Ascot and York. And he rounded off his campaign with a good third behind Teppin in the Woodbine Mile when we last saw him. Although, funny enough, William Haggis in an interview the other day said he was a bit disappointed with him that day, which is the kind of level of esteem he's held in. He only got beat 3/4 of a length by a horse who won the Group 1 at Royal Ascot in the shape of Teppin. So he's obviously a horse still on the upgrade. He's a lovely, big, long striding horse. And you'd imagine that the ground at Lingfield would be ideal for him, although he's never run on the all-weather. A nice... good fibre sand surface will suit, polytrack surface will suit, but he's just been off for a little while, which slightly leads me with a little bit of a cold taste in taking a short price about him. And when you see horses like Battalion and in particular Grendasar in here, and you look at their prices, you think, well, which one of these two do I back each way? Because you're almost certain that both of them are going to be there or thereabouts. They've proven time and time again. Grendasar's got the blinkers on for the first time, which might just sharpen him. I think that's a good move by Mark Abbott. I mean, he almost looks like he's gone a little bit sleepy on him.
Yeah.
They're riding him similar, dropping him out, bringing him through, but he's not quite having that finishing punch like he normally does here at Lingfield, a track that he's run well before. And, of course, he won this race last year. But Battalion's been in great form as well, and he's beaten Grendasar on his last two runs. He's drawn in stall one Battalion, which means that George Baker, with a good break, can just go around the inside, save ground. And I think if he's just a little bit further up the field than he was last time out, when he was, I think, probably only had one behind him turning in, he's got a good chance with his turn of foot Battalion of causing a bit of a surprise. And at, as I said, 5-1, 11-2, he looks a, well, 9-2, then he looks of almost certain each way bet to nothing.
Yeah.
Battalion?
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
It's a toss of the coin, isn't it? You either bat Battalion each way, you bet Grendasar each way. It's a bit of a, like I say, either or, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a bit slowly away, wasn't he, last time, Battalion? And that was his first run for a couple of months.
That was it, yeah.
Maybe just be a bit sharper this time round.
Yeah, I just felt as though he lost it early on and he was just too far back. He's made the ground, he's quicking up as he does, but the front two went away from him and you can't give that Conor Grant away to good horses in the home straight at Lingfield, because it is only a short straight. But he has shown that he has got a devastating turn of pace when he engages his mind, and hopefully tomorrow will be the same. But either way, he's got to be there or thereabouts, surely.
Okay. So, Grendis Aaron Battalion, the two on Andy's shortlist from an each-way angle in the Winter Derby. Take your pick of those. And we'll finish off in the 3.35, which is a big Grade 3 handicap chase at Kempton. And a field of 13 set to go to post for this one. Market headed at the time of recording this by joint favourites Double Shuffle and Irish Saint, both 11-2. 7-1 for Three Musketeers. Viva Steve, 15-2. 8-1 Theatre Guide. 9-1 Finger on the Switch. And 11-1 or bigger for the others. Nice wide open handicap chase to finish with here, Andy.
Yeah, I think you could give a numerous amount of horses a chance in this race. I mean, I've spent all week looking at this and I still haven't come up with a bet. Interesting that 2 for 2, one of my original shortlisted horses, doesn't go. But that still doesn't make it any easier. The three that I've got in my mind here are Three Musketeers, Double Shuffle, Orange Saint, and the market's very much speaking favourably in their direction. I think Irish Saint's a very interesting runner. He's 3 for 3 here at Kempton. So straight away you're thinking, oh, connections have got this race on their mind for a while. It's a race Paul Nicholls holds dear to his heart. He's won it on several occasions. But Kempton is very much this horse's track. And, you know, he won't mind the drying ground either. He's run on good ground many times in the past. Decent run the other day on soft ground behind Otago Trail. That would have put him spot on for this. It looks as though his season has surrounded this race. So he's a player. Double Shuffle seemed to have lost his way a little bit after an eye-catching run first time at Chepstow. He was a big fancy for the Paddy Power Chase, or the old Paddy Power Chase at Cheltenham. He never got into it and was pulled up. But then back on decent ground, and Kempton over 3 miles enabled him to get back on the winning trail last time out. So obviously connections have spotted a different dimension to this horse than they previously figured for. So he's got to be a player. Three Musketeers, I was really impressed with him the way he won last time and got the job done at Market Raisin, beating a good horse in the shape of Kilcarry Vale. Again, I think step up in triple definitely play into his strength. He looks an out-and-out stayer. So it's a difficult balancing act between the three. But I think Irish Saint's course record have never been beaten here at this track. And the fact that he's had the three runs just to put him spot on for this makes him quite a tantalising each-way choice at 5-1.
11-2. Here at William Hill.
Oh, sorry, Mark Walton Bookmakers. Yeah.
Yeah.
You always give me. You like to give me half a point, don't you?
Half a point when it's yeah, bigger. I don't mention it when it's shorter.
I don't like that, you know, because you know when bookmakers are offering you half a point extra than everyone else, they're almost thinking, this fella's a mag. Yeah. Take his money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, make me think as though I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm winning. Yeah.
I've got half a point then.
When really I'm not.
Well.
Don't feel so too sorry for me.
I try not to.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure you've got your...
You disguise it.
You've got
well.
One over the book.
You disguise it well.
Occasions, I'm sure.
Occasionally.
Good man. Thanks, Andy.
No problem at all.
Pleasure seeing you once again.
Yeah, be good tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Of course, it's the last piece in the jigsaw for most Cheltenham aspirants, so we should get a clearer picture after tomorrow.
There you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Saturday's action. Then you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:05 PM with Gareth Topham, Will Smith and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. It's Kempton, Newcastle and Chepstow over the obstacles, all with a derby day at Winter Derby Day at Lingfield, and also evening action from Wolverhampton. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.